Hey everyone, welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design with Dr. C. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, and thank you so much for joining us today. Entrepreneurship looks different for everyone. How and why we start our business, challenges that occur, pivots we have to make, success we achieve, all while life is happening. That's why I love sharing these inspiring entrepreneurs with you and shed light that there's enough room for everyone to succeed and thrive, even if you're in the same industry.
I am so excited today because I have Jenny Jones with me, and Jenny is a systems strategist and operations consultant for coaches, agencies, and service pros. She helps founders and CEOs earn more, work less, and create efficient, streamlined systems. Amazing. Before making the jump to entrepreneurship, Jenny came to the online space with over eight years of corporate experience, where she worked in operations, chain supplies management, finance, and product marketing departments of Fortune 500 companies. At the core of what Jenny does, she is a strong person of creating processes, systems that work for you and your unique business, plus setting you up with systems and strategies that will support sustainable growth. So important. This means helping creating the team, project, and client management systems that take the CEO out of the day-to-day to focus on the bigger picture priorities and goals of their business. Amazing. Thank you so much, Jenny, for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm grateful to have you here today because I know you have so much knowledge when it comes to systems, and that's the core of a business. But I would love for you to kind of dive into that journey, what led you here today.
Yeah, so it's been kind of a wild ride, I will say. I mean, I never saw myself being an entrepreneur. I will say that, like, straight up, I thought I was going to, you know, go to college, get my degree, then like work in corporate America for the next like 30, 40 years or whatever, the end. But I, like, you know, ever since I like graduated, I always knew like, oh, this is kind of not what I want. I don't enjoy working in a cubicle and being forced to be here. And I know a lot of people can relate, especially, you know, with the pandemic. I feel like a lot of people are reevaluating their priorities. And I, you know, it was, you know, I was eight or so years into my corporate role, and I was just incredibly burnt out. Like, the depression was real bad, the anxiety, you know, it was just the work-life balance. It was just not working for me. And so, you know, I was just evaluating, like, what do I actually want to do with my life? And I really had no idea. I know working in corporate America is not it for me. So I literally had no plan whatsoever, and I quit my job, and it was right before the pandemic happened. So yeah, my plan was like, okay, I'll just like take a break, reevaluate, maybe find another job in corporate America. But obviously that kind of didn't happen.
A little bit.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, so I really took some time to just evaluate, like, okay, what skill sets do I have? And, you know, I had a really varied corporate career. Like, as you had mentioned earlier, I was in finance, I did product marketing, I was in supply chain. Like, you know, I had all these skills, and I was like, well, what can I do with that? And luckily my husband, he actually is an entrepreneur himself. So he runs his own electrical contracting company. So I was able to help him with, you know, establishing like systems and processes for his business, because he's like a big kind of visionary thinker, and, you know, he's hands out in the field kind of guy. Like, he's like, I don't handle Excel spreadsheets. So I was able to help him with, you know, creating those systems and processes. And I was like, oh, I think I can make a business out of this. You know, I didn't really think about it. And it's funny. It's just, you do these things that are natural to you, but you don't think that somebody's going to pay you to do it. But that's kind of how I figured out what I'm actually good at.
I love that. And you know, it's so funny because you think you're going to go one way, and you go to school, you get the good job, and then life gets turned upside down, and it makes you reevaluate too where you're at in life and what makes you happy. But I love what you said too about like, it just comes natural. And a lot of times we have like all this knowledge base, and we're just like, oh, that's just what I like to do, but don't realize like some people do not like to do that or need
exactly
that.
Exactly.
Especially systems.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you said, it's not natural to everybody. And, you know, whatever you're innately good at, like you are, like everybody is innately good at something. And, you know, as you know, if you want to be an entrepreneur, like, I really think you just need to lean into that. And even if you think you're not good at anything, there is something you can sell to somebody, like guaranteed.
Absolutely. And that's what it's about, right? It's finding what your niche is. And, you know, you might start out one way, but it shifts to a completely different thing. Like you started helping your husband and then you realize through that, you're like, oh, wait a minute, I'm really good at this and helping so many people too. So I'm curious, I kind of want to go back to the burnout. What was that like for you? Because it's really, I think it's so important to talk about because I experienced it. I know a lot of other incredible people have gone through that and got out of it. But what was your experience like?
Yeah. So for me, basically going back to corporate, I like got promoted as a product marketing manager. And with that came with a ton of responsibility. And I will say, like, I didn't really get the kind of, you know, onboarding and training that, you know, I would have liked to like be really good at my role. I mean, they all assume like, oh, you're doing great, Jenny, you're fine. But even still, you know, I can try, you know, my best, but it's still like, it's very stressful trying to figure things out and not knowing exactly what you're supposed to be doing. But then, you know, it's just being thrown into a new role where you're not really acclimated to what you're supposed to be doing. And then I'm figuring it out on my own, but then I'm kind of realizing, oh, I do not enjoy this work at all. Like I'm just feeling burnt out. Like there's so many demands placed on me. And just, I knew, because I've always had depression and I know I can kind of recognize like when it's like getting really bad, it's like, I come home and I'm like, okay, I just like, don't want to do anything. I don't have the mental capacity to do anything. And then you're kind of like, you know, once that's like happening for months at a time, you're kind of like, wait, something is not right. I'm probably not in a good headspace right now.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what happened for me. And I kind of realized like, you know, I was talking to my husband. I was like, this isn't going to work. I mean, obviously it's a great job, but you know, I don't think my mental health is worth it. So that's just kind of the decision I came to.
Well, I think it's an important one too. And I'm glad we're talking about it because, you know, there's so many people who struggle with mental health. And even though I don't practice anymore, I'm still a huge advocate for mental health. And I think people sometimes prioritize the financial piece where if you are not well, that doesn't matter how much money you make or what the job title is, but it's really taking care of ourselves from the inside out. And I'm really glad you listened to what was right for you and look what it's turned into because you did doing stuff you love. So what does it look like really helping businesses in particular grow and scale using systems? Because I think it's something that's so important, but I don't think it's talked about enough.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that because it really isn't talked about a lot because people are, you know, they market these tactics like, oh, make 10K in, you know, like 30 days or something, you know, it's just all about the sales and the marketing and the flashy stuff. And yeah, that's great, but you need to have the operational foundations to able to, you know, to support that kind of growth in your business. So what happens a lot is like when I'm talking to, you know, potential clients or I'm just like, you know, networking with other business owners, a lot of times they're kind of telling me like, oh, I'm feeling really burnt out and capped out. I know that I'm the bottleneck in my business and I can't really grow anymore because, you know, my team is either waiting for things on me or things just take too long to get done, like onboarding clients or scheduling calls or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. A lot of times it really just comes down to your systems and your processes. It's just having your workflows streamlined, you know, putting automations in place, figuring out what you can hand off to somebody else because they can probably do it better and faster than you. Mm-hmm. And I know that's a big struggle as entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, especially like being able to let go of things because they're like, well, I've done it this way this entire time. It's working fine. But it's like, is it really though?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And I think too, it's really hard for people to delegate because it's like, you're creating this baby and you don't want to give the baby away yet, but they're like growing into that toddler phase and like teenage phase. It's like, it's time to like, let go a little. But I feel like just from what you're saying too, it's being able to understand when it's time to let go. It's great to like know the information and that's what I'm hearing from you, but it's when you pass it off, because you're going to get burnt out. Like, no one's immune to it. Like, everyone can get burnt out if they don't have those right systems in place and to grow too. And that's so important. But like what you're saying too, it's all the flashy stuff or like, oh, the sales and this and that. But like, if you don't have the foundation, and I probably say this almost every week now, but it's like the house, you don't build the roof first. You have to have the groundwork, even your husband being an electrician, like all the things that go into that as well, like the little tiny things in order to build upon. And I think that's the beauty of systems and making it prettier, like in the sense of like, yeah, it's important in order to have all the pretty stuff too. And like present, you need that. So your business doesn't fall apart, just like a house would fall apart.
Exactly. That's like the perfect analogy. I mean, it's spot on. I mean, it's like, you gotta have the basement, you know, like even if it's unfinished, you gotta have the structural foundation. It's not pretty, but you gotta have something there.
Yes, absolutely. So that's why I think like even with systems too. So like once you started to really grow your business, I'm curious, did you hit any roadblocks or just like things you're like, oh, I don't know about this. And it kind of maybe stunted the growth of your business and you were able to get past it?
Yeah. I mean, I think for me personally, it's because I'm actually still a solopreneur myself. And I think, you know, it's funny, you can practice what you preach a lot of times. It's like, I'm working in my clients' businesses and I'm like, oh, look at that. It's working so well for them. Like, I cleaned up that process and I helped them delegate it to a VA or whatever. But then I'm like, then like the back end of my business, sometimes I'm like, oh, why is it taking me so long to like send this email out to a client? And I'm like, you know, even for me personally, it's like, I can preach about systems, but you always need to like go back and revisit like what you're doing in your business and where you're wasting time. And like, I actually quarterly will like go in and audit, you know, where am I, you know, where is my time being spent? Because you don't even realize like how many hours you're wasting, you know, looking in your inbox or trying to find a document in your Google Drive, or, you know, you're like, oh, where is that one thing? You know, those notes that I had after I had that call with somebody. It's, you know, it's just a lot of little things that you can be doing that you don't really think about, and they all add up. And you're like, okay, I actually need to be creating some kind of process in here to make it so I'm not wasting all this time. And, you know, it's like, I still catch myself doing those things. So I need to like reevaluate constantly, because systems are ever changing.
No, they absolutely are. And that's a good point too. I think when we're constantly maybe in the business, realizing to take that step back and reevaluate, reflect, because we can be going, going, going. And if we're not taking that audit, I think that's such a good tip too for people to understand, to like take a step back, or having those systems in place if you have hired someone as well. I'm curious, what are maybe like two or three tips that you could give us when it comes to systems, if somebody's in the process of starting to hire someone or knowing what to put in place?
Yeah. So I will say, if you're getting ready to like, and I think this is like a spot that everybody should start to prepare their business for, even if you don't think you're ready for it yet, like when you're going to be hiring somebody in your business, whatever it may be, the biggest thing that I will preach is creating standard operating procedures, or SOPs, which are basically fancy process documents. I mean, it's a very like, you know, sounds like a very corporate-y term, standard operating procedure, but it's really just a training document, just like step-by-step how you do a particular process in your business. Because having those training materials, you know, created in some kind of, you know, SOP library, or just like in one place, like in your Google Drive, your project management tool, wherever it is, you know, so that when you have somebody onboarded onto your team, you have this nice, you know, pretty library of resources that somebody can go to. And I think that is so, so important. I think it's something that every business owner should have, because, you know, even if you're not delegating something to somebody, you might forget how to do something that you only do once a quarter, or, you know, once a year, you know, like, if you're like, oh, I know I did, I like, maybe you only launched something once a year and you totally forgot how you launched it. And, you know, not having that documented is going to waste a lot of time on your end. So SOPs, huge.
Yeah. You know, you just triggered a thought. I'm like, yep, that I'm guilty.
I mean, everybody's guilty. And I will say, Another quick tip, if you don't want to like actually document everything, because that is a bit time consuming, is using Loom videos, LOOM. Oh, it's this great, you know, screen recording program. I like to use it when I'm just like, I don't have time to just sit and write down a full on SOP. So I'm going to just screen record and talk out loud and be like, okay, this is what I'm doing. And this is why I'm doing it. And this is what you have to do next. And that's it. And then I'm like, okay, great. I have it kind of documented. So at least I have something now.
Efficiency 101. Yes. I love that. I forgot about Loom. I just recently heard about that not too long or like a few months ago, but it's definitely saved so much time and energy too. Yes. Because we don't always have time to like type things out or even like voice to like type or anything. But if we can visualize it too, because so many people are different types of learning styles that they go through as well. So I think that's super important.
Exactly. It's huge. All right. And then my second big tip is using a project management tool. And I know a lot of people, especially as solopreneurs, again, a lot of people are just kind of like, oh, I just have like a running to-do list, or I keep it in my head, or I keep it on, you know, I write it down in my notebook or something. But I think like, as you're trying to run and scale a business, you definitely need to have things like your tasks, your different projects, they need to all be put into one central location. And I'm really a big proponent of using project management tools. So things like ClickUp, Asana, Trello, whatever, you know, works best for your brain and the way you think. I really, really recommend using those tools. ClickUp is free, you know, if you're just like one person. You know, so there are a lot of ways you can use project management tools for free, and just using that to help you with keeping track of like your recurring tasks, like, oh, got to pay my quarterly tax bill, like, you know, because it's like a kind of like a, you know, it'll automate your to-do list for you. So be like, I got to remember to set this, you know, the third Friday of, you know, the third month every quarter, so that you remember to actually do that task. I think that's really huge in getting yourself organized, and, you know, it helps you get things out of your head so that you're not holding it. And I feel like when we as business owners are just keeping things stored in our head internally, it's kind of a drain on your brain. Honestly, it's a lot of mental energy, and you don't want to do that. So
no, we don't. You know, it's so interesting too, because I think when you look at what we're doing, how we're organizing our time and managing it, having a place to put everything is so key, because you're right. Like, it's having like a brain dump and not keeping things in your head too, because the creativity won't be able to flow as much.
Yeah. And that's huge. And I feel like, you know, as a business owner, a lot of my clients, they're very like visionary thinkers. They have lots of ideas coming to them. And you know, I kind of feel like your creativity is blocked if you have to hold on to all these little things that you have to remember to do in your business. And those are all like those admin things. It's like, it's the things that are keeping your operations running. Like, you don't want to have to remember, oh, I got to send that invoice to my client next Friday. You don't want to have to remember that in your head, because it's not a good use of your brain capacity.
No, definitely not. And I'm curious, because I know you've worked with a lot of different types of clients, taking us through how you've helped one client recently and a success story around that, if you could share with us.
Yeah, sure. So I recently got off. So I do like project management tool builds as like one-off projects for clients. And I worked with a copywriting agency last month, and she basically the process is, she came to me because she's like, okay, my agency is growing. I have this growing team, but, you know, we kind of have Asana set up a little bit, but I know it's not really operating the way that is going to be efficient for us and like the way that I'm taking my business. And so I came in and I audited like what she already had in there. And, you know, basically she kind of had some of her tasks in there. She was kind of using it as like kind of a running to-do list. And she didn't really have like a central location or like her employees to go in and know exactly what they had to work on at any given time. She didn't really have like kind of like a list of her clients set up to understand like where her client work was in the month. So I really helped her with setting up, you know, the back-end systems to help her have like, you know, a client management, you know, a central place of manage your client work, understand what her team is doing, and having a central location for hiring her new team members. So having a new hire onboarding template in place was really, really big for her because she was like really in a big growth phase in her business. So she needed those, you know, she needed help like refining those processes and getting those set up in Asana so that, you know, she had a smooth onboarding process for her clients and for her new employees. You know, so it's going in, I was auditing, I was setting it up, and then I handed it off to her after I also created a bunch of SOPs for her.
So of course.
So her team knew how to use Asana, how she had to onboard her new clients, how to onboard her new employees. So that was, you know, it saved her so much time. Her team is now operating like so smoothly now because they know exactly what they have to do. When they do it, they can just sign into Asana and they're like, okay, I'm working on this client project right now. I know what I have to do and when something is due. And just making sure that, you know, they had that central place to go to instead of kind of like, you know, waiting until they're like, kind of like their next like weekly or monthly team meeting with her. So, you know, it just took off a lot of time off of my client's plate, plus being able to help her team, you know, work more efficiently so they knew exactly what they had to do. So that was a really fun project to work on.
It sounds like it. And, you know, it just goes back to like why systems are so important to have and to have somebody to help you, because you might be able to do it, but especially if you're growing and scaling your business, it's going to be really difficult, but it's like starting from the beginning, having that in place. So when you do grow quickly, it's easier to manage versus like, I've heard so many stories of people like they go viral or something happens and they can't handle the amount of work that's coming, which is a good thing. A lot of work's coming. Mm-hmm. However, exactly. It's not in place and organized. You're going to have more headaches. And that's like what I'm hearing too from you of like why it's so important. Like I believe in it, but like other people are hearing too.
you're exactly right. I mean, like when people are, you know, getting they're hitting huge success and then they're like, oh my gosh, I can't handle it now. You know, they're just on the road to burnout. And like, I'm obviously a huge proponent of like no burnout because yes. Nobody wants that in their life. So I really try to work with my clients to make sure that they're like, you know, they have a good work-life balance. Like their schedule works with their energy, like managing the work that they want to be doing and when they want to be doing it, because I'm really all about that work-life balance. So, and I think systems are a huge part of that.
Yes, they are. And I would love for you to speak more about work-life balance. I talk a lot about work-life integration, but what does that look like for you?
So for me, it means like for me personally, it means being able to take the time off, like when I need to, if I feel like it. Like what I did not like at all about corporate is that like you're expected to have your butt in that seat, you know, from 8 to 5. Like if you weren't there, they're like, what are you doing? Yeah. But obviously we want to live flexible lives. And if I feel like working from 10 to 2 one day, like I want to be able to do that. You know, but I do like to create like kind of a flexible working schedule for myself, but I'm also creating intentional time blocks of when I know I'm going to be dedicating certain time on a certain client's, you know, project, when I have time just for client calls, that kind of thing, because I want to be able to create a schedule that works for like my energy. Like I'm most high energy first thing in the morning. So I want to use that for like getting things done, you know. And then like, you know, on Fridays, I enjoy taking calls like Friday afternoons, because I'm like, oh, it's not going to be the weekend. You know, it's just fun to chat with somebody like with you right now. So
exactly, you know,
yeah. So for me, the work-life balance is really creating a schedule that works with your energy, but, you know, and gives you that flexibility to work when you feel your best and working when you want to.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's so important that you brought that up, because I think a lot of times it's energetically, like some people are morning people and that's like their time. That's definitely me. Like evenings, I'm like, if I go on the couch, I'm asleep. Exactly. Like, I'm not a night owl. There's so many people that are though, but I think it's like working towards what works for you. And I love that you have that flexibility, because no one way is the right way, but like being able to really make your schedule work for you. And that's another component of systems. systems as well, like you have those in place, you don't have to work as hard because they're already established.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, because you want to, I mean, you know, we only have so many hours in the day, but, and you don't want to just be working. So you want to work efficiently and work when your energy is at its highest, I think. So
yes, no, I couldn't agree more. Absolutely. Because I do think too, it's just being able to work that flexibility in. And I'm curious, with somebody who's on the entrepreneurial journey, whether they're in the beginning, middle, or just they've been going for a while, what are some really good tips that you can leave with the entrepreneurship aspect of like when you are starting your business and growing it?
So I will say, if you're just starting your entrepreneurial journey, like just like try things. And I will say, like, for me, I never thought I was a big risk taker, but you know, this, I feel like being an entrepreneur is a big risk because you don't know what's going to happen, but it's just such a growing journey. And you know, things always evolve. Like, you can always change your mind. So don't be afraid to just try something. That's what I will say. Like, especially if you're new at being an entrepreneur or you're thinking about jumping into it, just like, just try something new. Like, you know, if it doesn't work out, you can figure something else out. And then if you are like, you know, in the midst of your entrepreneurial journey, I will say, you know, I think I'm just going to go back to the systems piece, because you might already have, you know, some systems already established in your business, but always go back and audit, because, you know, there are going to be places that you're wasting your time, or, you know, things that you can delegate to somebody else, or things that can be automated with, you know, a new tech platform or something. So I really, really hope, you know, if you're further along in your journey, you're really going to lean into systems and getting those established.
Yes, those are fantastic tips. And Jenny, I've been having such a blast with you today. I'm learning so much, but I just love how the conversation flows. But we're going to jump into the rapid fire questions if you're ready for them.
Okay. Yes, I'm ready.
So the first question is, who is your hero?
So my hero, I will have to say it'll be two. It'll be my grandparents, because they immigrated from Korea, and you know, they immigrated in the 70s, and you know, my grandpa wanted to be a doctor in America, and I just think it's amazing that they made that journey to improve their family's lives. Like, I wouldn't be here. Like, my life would be so different if I was born in Korea, honestly. And I'm just so thankful. They like made a journey here without knowing the language, the culture. They just, you know, there's just so much grit to just be able to figure it out yourself and just fight through whatever they were going through. So, you know, they did it.
Yeah. They paved the path for you as well. And everyone in your family. I love that. What an inspiring story too. I love hearing that. Like, just so many different walks of life as well, but really establishing that and knowing that you can accomplish anything you want to, as long as you put your mind to it.
Yeah. Big inspiration for me.
Well, they sound like wonderful individuals. What motivates you to work smarter?
I would say it's just like, I don't know. It's just always been like my drive to figure out how I can do things better, or just, or I'm just going to brute force it and just like, how can I do this? I'm going to get it done. Like, that's just like, I've always had this internal drive to just like figure out, you know, what I can do to solve a problem and how I can do it. And if I can do it better, I don't know. It's just something, I think that's probably kind of a entrepreneurial thing too. I'm just like, I need to like figure it out. I need to like get it done, or else I'm just going to be like, oh no, it's going to bug me so much. So that really drives me.
Oh, that's an important drive. And I think you're right. It's that entrepreneurial spirit, but it's also your spirit as well.
Yeah.
So if you were to be a superhero, what would be your power or powers?
What would be my power or powers? Honestly, like, I wish I could fly. Like, I like would love that. I mean, I don't know. I think that's just always been the superpower I've always wanted. I don't know. Able to fly anywhere.
I love it. No, that's, I mean, it makes it so much easier. You don't have to go through things like customs or flying places or having to wait.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just going to fly over the border.
I mean, I'm all for it. I want that. Like, teleporting. Click in there. Don't have to waste time.
Yeah.
So what is the most daring thing that you've ever done?
I think the most daring thing I've ever done is jumping out of a plane. I'm a huge adrenaline junkie, and I will say that even for me, that was like really scary. We flew up and it was just like this rickety little plane. And honestly, I was kind of like, oh God, what's going to happen? And then, yeah. You know, the guy is strapped to my back and he's like pushing me to stand over the ledge. And I'm like looking out, I'm like, oh my God. Okay. And I just like closed my eyes and I just like jumped. So that was like so scary, but I mean, I just a big rush of adrenaline. I loved it.
Gosh, I want to do it, but like even hearing about it, because other people have said that too, my palms get sweaty. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so nervous.
I know. It's that. Yeah. It's just like, once you're there, you're like, well, I can't back out now. So
It's true. Once you're there, I feel like once I'm there, I would do it, but yeah, you are a brave soul.
Thank you.
What is the phone app that you use the most?
I will say it's probably either like my notes app or my reminders app. I'm just like always writing lists down, or like, cause I have it integrated with my computer and like my drives. I'm like, okay, I just, you know, I'm, you know, me with like my software for keeping myself organized. So that's probably it. Using that to like help me write content or ideas, whatever.
Love it. It's a good one. It's a very important one. Yeah. Running the business. What is the last book that you've read?
The last book I read was Crying in H Mart. I don't know if you've heard of it. Mm-hmm. It's by Michelle Zauner. So it's about she's Korean American, or she's half Korean, half American. It was just like so nice for me because like I'm Korean American, and she just, everything she was talking about, it's just like my childhood, just about the foods and, you know, going to Korea and, you know, her not really knowing the language, but being there with her mom, and just kind of about her relationship with her mom and her mom dying, and just kind of her forging her own identity. It's an amazing book. Like, I highly recommend it.
Ooh, I'm intrigued. Gotta add that to my list. Sounds like a very good read. If you were to have a movie about your life thus far, who would play you?
I would say Awkwafina. I don't know if you know Awkwafina,
I love her. Okay. She's hilarious.
I just think she's so funny, and she's also Korean like me. So, but I think, I forget what show she was in, but she was like so like awkward and hilarious. I was like, I just want her to be me. Like she could just play me in a movie about my life, because I find myself doing really awkward, cringy thing sometimes. I'm like, oh, see, we're the same.
You got that quirk, you know? Yeah. I love it. I would love to see that. She's a fantastic actress. I think she's incredible.
I love her. Yeah.
I can see why. So if you were to look at like just family recipes, that whether they're traditional or you like to make as a family, what would be your favorite recipe?
I would have to say, so it's a Korean dish called kaibi. I don't know if you're familiar with like Korean barbecue at all. Yeah. But basically kaibi is like a short rib, that's marinated and you can grill it. And it's kind of something that we always like made for special occasions, for like birthdays and holidays, whatever. And every time like my friends or family, like, you know, that's like American that has tried it, they're just like, oh my gosh, this is the most amazing thing I've ever tasted. And you know, it's so good. It's one of my favorites.
It sounds delicious. I've never had it before, but it sounds delicious.
Okay. Well, you got to try some Korean barbecue.
I will add it to the list. I'm pescatarian, but maybe I can.
Oh, okay.
But we'll see.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll morph it a little. So if you had to describe yourself as an animal, personality, style, type, what animal would you be?
I will say probably something that's more of a loner, like maybe like some kind of bigger cat or like a wolf or something. Cause I've always just been pretty like independent. I'm pretty quiet, honestly, like, you know, just one of those animals that's like going to do its own thing and doesn't really need to rely on somebody else. That's kind of how I operate. So I could see myself being like some kind of big cat or a wolf.
Very independent. We're leader of the pack.
Yes. or even a house cat. I can sometimes be like a house cat too. I could have that personality.
I feel like it weaves in and out. Yeah. On the day, right?
Yeah.
Perfect. So if you have a day off where, because you have such a flexible schedule and you're not seeing any clients or doing anything that you need to, what is your favorite way to spend a day off?
I'm a very like leisurely person. I'm like, I will just hang. So I have three dogs and we'll just, I'll just like hang out with them. We'll go walk on our property. We have like a nature trail, like in our backyard. You know, I really just like to veg out and just chill and be, and, you know, be in nature. I also have a garden. I feel like doing like outdoor activities and just being really living like a slower paced life. That's just up my alley. So
it's that recharge, right? You're not just like a being exactly. In nature, it just changes everything.
Exactly. Just taking that break and, you know, disconnecting.
It's important to do. I think that's important too. So if somebody was outside of your industry, what is something they would not know about your industry?
I would say, okay, I think a big thing that people will come to me about is they're like, oh, I want to just like try to automate everything. But I really feel like you can't do that because you're going to lose the human experience, especially when you're working with your clients. And I always want, you know, your clients to feel like they're not just like a number. And I feel like there's a time and place for automations and, you know, making things run, you know, instantly in your business. But I feel like when it comes to, you know, working with your clients, like there are things that you just like cannot automate. You want to keep that humanness and, you know, yeah, maybe it's going to take a little more time, but I really think you need to make sure you're connecting with your clients and making them feel seen and not a number. So I'll say, yeah, automations and humanness, there has to be a balance there.
That's a really good point, because I mean, like, just even thinking about what you were saying, I was like, huh, like, because I know a lot of people, it's like, it just automate everything, but you really can't, because you're right. You lose that human connection, and that's what it's all about.
Exactly. Yeah.
Jenny, this has been such an amazing conversation, but before I let you go, where can people find you, hire you? We're going to link everything below, but if you could let us know too.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. So if you want to connect with me, shoot me a DM. I hang out on Instagram a lot, at Jenny M. Jones with the little underscore at the end. I'm also on LinkedIn. I'm not as active on there, but I definitely answer DMs and connect with people there as well. Otherwise you can find me on my website at www.jennymjones.com, and you can schedule a call with me there too. So yeah.
Perfect. Well, make sure to like, subscribe, comment below. What was the biggest thing you took away from Jenny today? She is a wealth of knowledge and knows so much about systems and operations and all her background as well. But Jenny, I just want to thank you again for coming on and just sharing everything you did with us today and your journey, the ups, downs, and everything in between.
Thank you so much for having me. It was so much fun.
Absolutely. And we will see everyone on the next video.